Hello, friends. This is the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW in Bellevue, Washington, on 1150 AM, just outside Seattle in the United States. The program focuses on out-of-this-world information, including psychic phenomena, UFOs, metaphysics, and predictions for the coming years in Seattle, the United States, and beyond. During this second hour, we have a fantastic hour for you with Dr. Lorraine Hurley, who's on the line from Boston. Lorraine, are you there?
Oh, I'm sorry. Here, Ted. Hello.
I'm so sorry. I should have told Eric that I was getting you on. I didn't mean to surprise him. Anyway, I just wanted to make a couple of quick announcements, and then we can go right to the interview. The program is supported by donations, and for those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button on the top right, upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com and just click on it. Even a dollar will really help. I wanted to tell everyone about the wonderful Galactic Wisdom Conference I'm having at the Inn at Gig Harbor next month from March 6th to 8th. It's located only 10 minutes from Tacoma or 40 minutes from Seattle. It's a wonderful place, and we'll be having some of the world's most famous psychics and UFO people in the world coming. There's a special discount on registrations. We've extended the deadline now to register at the special rate of till March 1st of only $197. It includes free psychic readings with some of the world's best psychics and spiritual healers, such as Jerry Wills, who can remove alien implants. For those who are interested in just coming for a day, the rate's just $97 a day. And if you're a student or just low income and don't have the money, I'd be happy to give you a 50% discount. For that, just please call me on my toll-free number at 1-888-879-8339, or just send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Finally, I wanted to mention tonight at East West Books, there's a friend of mine named Dewey Meyer. She's a wonderful, wonderful person. She'll be giving a seminar, a lecture on, quote, "Are These Feelings Really Mine?" She writes that other people's energies may be affecting you more than you realize, and she will teach how to apply practical techniques so you can experience increased energy and a sense of well-being. And then tomorrow, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., she'll be having a second workshop on learn when energies are coming our way and the techniques to clear low-frequency vibrations that sometimes hold you down. She's a wonderful lady. Dewey's a friend of mine. And if you have time and you are in the Seattle area, I urge you to attend her lecture tonight at East West Books. The address is at 6500 Roosevelt Way in Seattle. Starts at 7 o'clock tonight from 7 to 8:30, and then tomorrow again from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. I wanted to say hello. How are you doing today?
I'm doing spectacularly well, Ted. How are you?
Oh, fine. It's wonderful. Skype is very, very clear, and it's almost like you're right here in the studio.
Well, that's fantastic. Because, you know, I'm actually in the midst of learning how to use Skype for video content, uh-huh. And what a remarkable little service or you know, construct it is, huh?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I have to tell you that now that I've got you on Skype, the studio lit up again in a big, bright white light. It's cloudy outside today in Seattle, but here in the studio, it's very, very nice. And there's all this angelic light around you and me too today. So I want to thank you for bringing your angel friends into the program. So thank you.
Well, thank you. I'm so glad to know that I have them. I do know that I have them. I don't always, I'm not always consciously aware that they're there, but whenever I talk to you, Ted, I do come into a place of kind of stepping back and getting out of my head and getting into my body and my higher, you know, mind. And I say, oh, yeah, he's right. Something's going on here. That's fantastic.
Well, I think part of our purpose and our friendship is that I can help you get in touch, certainly, with your angel guides. We all have them. All of us do. And it's just sometimes they often communicate with you and with people through the through thoughts in the fifth dimension, so that once you get used to communicating with them, they're all the time around you. For me, it's a normal part of my everyday life to talk to my dad, for example, who passed away in 99, my dear foster mother who passed away a few years ago, and I have a additional 8 to 10 different wonderful angels around me at all times, and it's nice to have that kind of support. It was sort of funny a few years ago when my foster mother was alive. We used to talk on the phone quite a bit, and I would tell her, I said, "I'm alone. I've I'm living by myself and I don't have anybody around. And she said, Ted, don't be silly. You've got tons of angels around you. And I'd stop and think for a minute. And after that, she told me that, I realized that she was right. So I never really felt very alone after that. I always have angels around me, so which is really nice.
Well, isn't it funny how the lives that we've chosen, what we've chosen to focus on and teach or share or mm-hmm. speak about and communicate about, really can have the effect of making us feel as though we are isolated and alone, you know, unless we're working for one of these major conglomerates of, you know, these major movements towards consciousness. There's sure. where the foot soldiers really have their work cut out for them. There are a lot of people in my life, anyways, mm-hmm. I'm going to share with you. Mm-hmm. I'm alone, meaning, you know, singularly alone quite a bit, but I'm learning not to feel alone. Most of my friends are virtual right now, and it doesn't mean I don't have loved ones and family and social connections around me that I engage in, but I'm just not in an area where people are really open and willing to explore.
Sure.
Let's just say, you know, the interdimensional nature of life. So, yeah, you can start to feel alone.
Well, I've learned over the years that actually many of my friends are actually dead. It's kind of funny to say it, but they've passed on the other side. They're still around, it's a lot of fun to communicate with them because they come from a position of truth. Everything that all the information you get from the other side in the fifth dimension is 100% truth, whereas sometimes much of the information you get on this side of the veil in the third dimension is not true or it's half true. But before we go on, Lorraine, I just want to tell my listeners that you graduated, a little bit about your background. You graduated from Boston University School of Medicine in 1997, and you were board certified in family medicine in 2001, following residency at the University of Massachusetts Medical Center. You worked in a busy group practice in Harwich, Massachusetts for 2 years before becoming certified in functional medicine and a fellow of the American Academy of Environmental Medicine. This enabled you to combine functional, environmental, and traditional medicine with wonderful traditional care. You've also, today you are a wonderful educator, researcher, public speaker, a truth activist, a freelance writer, health consultant, and the host of a nationally syndicated radio show called Uncommon Awareness on the Genesis Communication Network. And your personal focus at present is the ongoing growth and the evolution of consciousness. And you continue to develop yourself as a resource for questioning and awakening the public. You adore travel, and you live with your husband and daughter on beautiful Cape Cod in Massachusetts. I want to thank you so much. I was on Lorraine's show here a few weeks ago, and during the show, and you can look up Lorraine's wonderful radio shows on www.drhurley.net. We had some visitors. I believe Albert Einstein came in as well.
Albert Einstein, Oppenheimer.
Right.
There was one more. Forgive me, Ted, for not thinking. But of course, the ambassador Tellarian.
Terrellian. Mm-hmm.
Terrellian.
All right.
And it was Robert Kennedy that popped in when we mentioned his name.
Robert F. Kennedy came in. We had a quite a crowded show.
It was such a surprise. It was such a delight. Because the last thing on earth I anticipated when I asked to interview you was that we would actually be channeling anything. I was just thinking we were going to talk about what you did when you began to bring in the energies that you were downloading and the people, you know, the entities that were speaking to you, the spirits that were speaking to you. I was always a little lost for words. I even had comments from listeners that said, well, that's sure, you know, they said, we've never heard you at a loss for words. And I said, well, it took me a minute to recover. I was kind of, wow.
Well, Professor Einstein actually is here now. He just came in, and he's bringing a lot of friends, too. I'm a little overwhelmed. He's here. Ambassador Terrellian of the Galactic Alliance is here as well. They're a group of 435 million planets in this one-third of the Milky Way galaxy, comprised of approximately 7 trillion entities, mostly human, not all, mostly human, all benevolent, and they all love us and care about us, and they want us to help make the right choices so that we can continue to thrive and grow spiritually, as Nostradamus predicted back in the 16th century. Robert, oh my goodness, Robert F. Kennedy is here. Professor Einstein is bringing up a friend. Oh, I told you about him last week. Leonardo da Vinci just came in.
Did mention Leonardo.
I'm a little overwhelmed. Anyway, they're all here. It's rather crowded. And they,
me just say, first of all, that I'm extraordinarily honored. I have no idea why the two of us together would mm-hmm. command such an extraordinarily eloquent and beautiful and you know, exceedingly genius community of interest. So I'm, you know, if they have questions for me, Ted, you know, I'm happy to answer them. And I do want to say, maybe they're here because you didn't share with your listeners that you're going to become an alternate host on my program, Uncommon Awareness, on GCN Live. Ted was so well received when we did the interview, and he has kindly and graciously offered to kind of take a load off me. Radio is, you do it one day a week, I do it 5 days a week. It's a labor of love, mm-hmm. and we have to be sure that it doesn't become our worst nightmare in terms of the energy and time that's involved in it. So, Ted, let your listeners know that you're going to become a permanent Monday host on Uncommon Awareness.
Well, I can't wait. I just can't wait, Lorraine. Thank you so much for this wonderful opportunity. I'll be broadcasting on Mondays. I believe is it from 2 to 4 p.m. Pacific time? Is that right?
That's 2 to 4 Pacific, correct.
Pacific time.
5 to 7 Eastern. That's when you'll be broadcasting live.
Mm-hmm.
The show runs Monday through Friday. There is another alternate host that will be picking up Friday. So I will have a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And we're reconstructing the website to reflect the diversity of not only our guests, but our hosts. I kind of made a decision, Ted, that it's impossible for one person to learn and understand and communicate it all. What I've decided to do with Uncommon Awareness is to share that airtime with people that I feel have a very powerful message and to appeal across a broad spectrum of seeking. You know, we have to actually be where our feet are. And I share with you, when you talk to me, is there a Galactic Federation ambassador, please? Disrespect. I don't know. In other words, this is one of the reasons for this was such a profound opportunity for me and my listeners, is that you, Ted, are immersed in that. I am not. I cannot. I have my areas of interest. I'm learning from you. I'm delighted with these new experiences. But we're going to let you take that part of the beauty of life in the 21st century. For all our challenges, there's great opportunity and beauty. We're going to let you manage that.
Well, thank you so much, Lorraine. I'm getting a lot from the other side right now. The other person that came in was J. Robert Oppenheimer, who worked on the atomic bomb with Einstein during the Manhattan Project.
Yeah, I hope he didn't take my giving him a little bit of a hard time personally the last time we were on the show.
No.
I wanted to know why they would do that, but they were so gracious.
They said that the energy between us, Lorraine, is really good, and we have they like our energy working together, and the two energies of us working together actually is a wonderful bridge to the other side, and that's, they've all come in, and they want to give a series of messages to humanity around the world and over 60 countries and people listening to the program today. They said that we're on a crossroads right now. This is coming from Professor Einstein, and also, I'm a little overwhelmed. Leonardo da Vinci, who actually was a time traveler, he went in far into the future. He said, "I picked up his biography at his request, and also his notes, a big thick volume. I'm reading it now, and we'll be having another program with them on, I think, March 3rd. Is that right? I think on your show."
March 3rd, we were going to do the second. We're doing the third.
Right.
We're going to be on that show together. And then you're doing a conference the following weekend. So I will do the following Monday. And then you're going to be hosting basically starting the 17th of March. You'll be hosting Mondays.
Wonderful. Wonderful. I can't wait, Lorraine. They're coming through with a whole bunch of messages. Whatever we don't finish today, we can certainly start, continue on March 3rd when I'm back on your wonderful program. But they said that the synergy and energy between us is really good, and that's opened up a gateway to the other side. And all these spirits have really wanted to come through because humanity at present, I'm getting this from them now, Professor Einstein's taking the lead, that we are at a crossroads right now in humanity's future. The path that we are currently taking is a really good path, and we are, Ambassador Terwilliger and the Galactic Alliance just came in, and he said that they're helping us behind the scenes take away the evil that's been plaguing humanity for so many years. And he's saying, he said this to me before, but he's saying, Ambassador Terwilliger and the Galactic Alliance is saying that evil as an experiment is now ending on this planet. And humanity now has taken the right steps to embark on a wonderful spiritual future. You'll feel the full force of it in about 10 years, where things like telepathy, remote viewing, psychic abilities will become far more commonplace. You'll have, for example, in the courtroom situations, if you have a criminal trial and you have a person there who's accused of a crime, a jury or a judge will know instantaneously whether that person's telling the truth and whether they're guilty of whatever they're charged with. It'll be a very different society, and it'll be far more open.
Yeah, can I ask a question, though?
Sure.
Right now, our society, I can't speak for the rest of the world,
right.
Our society is operating under the universal commercial code, mm-hmm. meaning that our courts are completely corrupted. We're being treated as property and chattel, and right. we're basically denied our inalienable rights. We do not have common law courts unless we know how to convert the courtroom. We're basically walking into a statutory. So Ted, it's just so important for me to make this point. Legality and lawfulness are not the same things. You know, under law, unless you harm someone or another person's property, you haven't done anything wrong. Common law basically is so brilliant and so beautiful because it mediates the fickleness of morality.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a certain morality that we all understand. It's not right to kill, but of course, common law takes care of that. You can't impose your will. You can't impose your ideas, you can't physically assault or aggress another person. That's against the law. You know, the legalities of our statutory and code system are basically just a money making machine. So I just, for my personal sake, mm-hmm. if they would clarify, do they see a return to our inalienable rights?
Yes.
I don't even want to call it constitutional law because there's yes. no such thing as we're not protected under the Constitution. We have these inalienable rights, and the Constitution is to protect us against the government. Are we going to see a return of this?
You'll see a return of it, and also, too, I'm meditating now. They're saying that it'll be a far more open society in the future. For example, if you meet someone a friend or talk to somebody on the phone, let's say 10 to 15, 20 years from now, and they tell you something, it'll be you'll know instantaneously whether they're telling you the truth or not. It'll be far more open and transparent than it is now, because that's what happens when you evolve into the fifth dimension. You can tell when people are telling the truth, and this applies, by the way, to governments, government leaders, and to all kinds of things. So that's the kind of future they're saying that will transpire. Your program, my program. So many light workers out there. We're just on the vanguard of something really big and really wonderful that's going to happen to humanity. We'll be bringing on in about 10 minutes' time Michiko Hayashi, who's the worldwide director of the Emoto Peace Project in Tokyo, Japan, 10, 15 minutes. And she'll be talking about the work of the late Dr. Masaru Emoto. But consciousness was the keystone of Dr. Emoto's work. And they're saying that it's very important to keep a positive attitude through these changes. They're not saying from the other side, Lorraine, that it's going to be easy. We've all chosen to be here. You and I both signed up for these assignments to try to raise humanity's consciousness and make this world a better place. But the good things are coming, and we just
have... I have one question for the ambassador, if I
yes,
may.
Yes, sure, of course.
And Professor Einstein and Oppenheimer and
yes.
anyone else that's there, because they have the advantage of being on this side. One of my... and I could be wrong...
Mm-hmm.
is when we're, because of the nature of the multiverse, the fact that there are multiple dimensions and also multiple universes, we're talking about parallel realities. It's my understanding that those of us that are awake and that there is going, that it's entirely possible for the destiny of the planet to split into two, where there will be those who forecast and who live and who believe in an Armageddon, and that's where they'll be. And there are those of us who believe in overcoming the darkness, the shadow, the parasites, the archons, whatever we choose to call the psychopathy that's on the planet, that we will overcome and we will experience that 1,000 years of peace. So I just want to ask a question of our esteemed, and I'm so delighted to hear with us. Is this part of the nature of what we're facing as we're going through these cosmological changes, as we're, as humankind is able to actually comprehend the nature of multi-dimensions and the multiverses? Is the planet herself, because I know the planet's undergoing evolution, planet Earth is a living entity. She's already in the fourth dimension. She's headed for the fifth. She's trying to take us with her, those of us that want to be with her. But is this a plausible way to think about the future? Because, Ted, I'm sorry. You know, I'm just going to share one quick thing. I don't want to take up too much time before your peace project person gets here.
I found an article. Please share anything you like.
I found an article when I was looking to kind of update Facebook today. And it's a Barbie doll that has a barcode. And as children speak to her, information is going to be transmitted to researchers. And we're talking, I'm going to make this really short. You can look it up. It's on truthactivism.com. And what they're doing is they're attempting to create an artificial intelligence, a doll. Now, they don't say this. This was my take. That becomes your child's best friend. They're moving younger and younger. They're moving our children away from human-to-human interaction and into more and more interaction with artificial intelligence, technology, and so forth. This is deeply, deeply troubling to me. As though children don't already have too much time away from the spontaneity and the creativity and the warmth and compassion of life. Now we're going to invent dolls. And the researchers are basically, you know, and they're very bold. It's a consumer thing. You know, it's a profit corporate thing. Well, if we know what children are talking about, then we can create a doll that responds to your child. This is, Ted, utterly and absolutely freaky.
Frankenstein sort of technology.
Yeah, sure.
There was a, for those who are fans of The Twilight Zone, there was an episode, one Twilight Zone episode, I vividly remember, Lorraine, where this gentleman had had a computer, and the computer fell in love with this with this guy. And unless the computer wanted to marry him, and the computer, of course, had artificial intelligence, and unless he married the computer, that she would shut down. So she shut down all the equipment and everything. And it was the
whole... You know, they made a remake of that, Ted. That's a fairly recent movie.
Really?
They made that. Yeah. They made that into a... I think it came out a couple years ago.
Interesting. Interesting.
Can't remember the name of it, but yeah.
Interesting. Well, you know, all the... I believe... Oh, okay. Ambassador Twilling's coming through now. He said that evil as an experiment is ending on this planet. But he's using the word is ending. In other words, it's not ended yet. So you're going to see things like this Barbie doll with artificial intelligence who becomes a little girl's best friend, excluding human relationships. You know, you're going to see, you're going to continue to see, for example, the knowingly dumping of all these awful chemtrails throughout the United States and different parts of the world. But they're working hard behind the scenes to slowly turn that around. And they have to be careful as they do it, just because much of this is inspired by the reptilians, Ambassador Twirling is saying, and it's being done to decrease the population on this planet, to create a malleable slave-like race to serve these reptilians. They have to do it slowly, because the reptilians do have the ability to destroy the planet if they so choose. But that's why it's being slow. But I understand that, you know, the artificial Barbie doll with the artificial intelligence, this is all part of that evilness, if you will. I don't think it'll be successful long term, and I think it's kind of like the last gasps of evil on this planet. So
I want to share two things before your guest from Japan comes on. I know that you said, one is I have a guest on my radio show. She's been on several times. I adore her. I cannot give you her name because she told me this about herself in confidence. This is not something that's in her books. It's not what she talks about. She's from the future, And yeah, I know her well enough to know that if people can remember past lives, why can't they have a cognition of, you know, some cognizant absorption, you know, understanding, comprehension of future lives?
Sure.
And she believed she was what they call an ensouled artificial intelligence.
Uh-huh.
She was part of something called the God Project. And she told me that for all of her life, she's known this about herself. And she said last year, the nightmares and the dreams that she was having about this, because this is how she keeps it completely hidden from her public life. She said they went away, and she feels absolutely confident that whatever trajectory, because remember, we live in a multiverse of pluripotentiality.
Right.
All possibilities exist simultaneously. It's simply where we put our energy and attention.
Right.
That determines where we go.
Right.
She said the threat of that future, and she says it was about 500 years into the future.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why am I sharing this? Again, mm-hmm. Ted, this is more your domain than mine, because it came from a woman who is a beautiful, beautiful soul, who's a mm-hmm. physicist, but also has a doctorate of divinity, somebody who has successfully merged science and spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
And when she told me this story, she did it in absolute and total, you know, confidence, knowing that mm-hmm. I would understand.
Sure.
Because we had this conversation one day about the nature of time.
Mm-hmm.
So she's basically is seeing a future, at least in her life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think any one of us can speak for all of us. But at least in her reality and in the circles that she travels in and the relationship she has, she says that future is no longer feasible. It's over.
Mm-hmm.
That it was where she came from. It's mm-hmm. not where the planet today is headed.
Right.
I sent her that Barbie article. The second thing is, you and I talked earlier about the nature of consciousness, and when you get involved in uncommon awareness,
mm-hmm.
the radio show has a project called Alignment of Hearts, the Global Synchronization Project.
Mm-hmm.
It is there, Ted. There's so much science, and there's so much historical, metaphysical, and spiritual evidence that when people come together with a common goal, when they can become, when their hearts become coherent, when they can come to a place of love and compassion and joy, when they are resonating those higher vibrational frequencies, we do alter material reality.
Right.
And this is something that I have felt an extraordinary urgency to mm-hmm. really. There's Dr. Emoto. There's all kinds of the Institute for Heart Math, Max Egan's. Lots of people are doing it that are more well known around the world than I am. But one day Spirit just put it on my heart and said, you know that this is the solution. It's a spiritual solution.
Right.
So you're going to become part of that project, Ted. I don't know whether or not you realized it. It's called Alignment of Hearts, the Global Synchronization Project. We get together, hopefully, at the same time around the planet. We mix it up so that people in different time zones can participate. But what we're doing is we're drawing in as many people as possible towards the intention of healing personal lives, situations, circumstances, experiences, trajectories, possible futures, really kind of acknowledging the unknown, the as yet latent possibilities and potential of humankind.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, Lorraine, because and this ties in with the Emoto Peace Project as well, because last July 25th, I did an experiment with Dr. Emoto on the air at about 3:30 p.m. the day he was on July 25th of last year. And for those who'd like to listen to the interview, just go to my website, please, at www.outofthisworld1150.com and click on guests and you can go to the interview. We did an intention experiment where we sent love and light to the Palestinians and the Israelis, who at the time were fighting, and for a brief ceasefire to exchange food and medical supplies and treat the wounded. And at about 8:30 that night, I went where I was staying. I turned on the TV, watched CNN, and the Israelis and the Palestinians had just agreed to a 12-hour ceasefire beginning at 9 p.m. Seattle time to provide food and medical supplies and exchange the wounded. So it does work. And what's important to remember is that through our simple thought and intentions, we can create a beautiful, happy planet. And we can also create world peace at a far cheaper and less cost than all the trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars wasted on the military hardware currently in the world.
You know, and Ted, I'm glad you brought that up, because there are, you know, what scientists might call what you did anecdotal, and yet those of us that are living from the heart recognize. I told you about Edna Spinato. She's down in Brazil.
Right.
She has the website Earth Heals, mm-hmm. and they, you know, they have several activities, several healing sessions throughout the year. You can sign up. It's like, I don't know. It's such an extraordinary value. It might cost you $10 a session or something to mm-hmm. participate, because that's how their work is supported.
Nice.
But she has interdimensional beings that come. They use surrogates, and they did the same thing. They've been particularly concerned about Palestine and Israel, understanding that Israel was a nation state that wasn't created for the Jews. It was created by Zionists, who are controlled by, you know, we can call them archons, reptilians, whatever we want.
Right.
This is kind of the hub. You know, the United States has become the military arm of this hidden hand, this secret mm-hmm. government. Mm-hmm. The Vatican has become the religious arm. And, you know, mm-hmm. of course, London, the state of London, the city-state of London, is the money arm.
Right.
And she, you know, they did these ceremonies. They really focused on Palestine, particularly Gaza. And she sent me over two emails about, again, anecdotal. Right after they did their healing work, there were ceasefires. If more people understood, you know, in other words, there isn't an organization on the planet, mm-hmm. mainstream organization, that's going to fund this kind of research, because right. all mainstream organizations are really locked into the shadow.
Right.
And we can't hate them. That's the worst thing we can do, is hate them, violently revolt. But the last thing, the reason why they set things up the way they've set them up, is because they know that when we turn from our fear, when we really begin to live a heart-centered life, their days are numbered.
Right.
They're over.
Well, let me tell you something very interesting, and then we'll go. I just want to check. Is Michiko there on the line? Michiko, can you hear us? Hello. Okay, well, we'll get her back on in a minute here. What I was going to say is that the listening base of alternative radio like Coast to Coast at Night, which focuses a lot on UFOs and psychic phenomenon, is somewhere in the millions of listeners. And if you look at CNN, at best, their daytime ratings during the days are 190,000 listeners. That's it. And so you can see where people's hearts and interests are far more interested in getting the truth out and looking at the world as a better, happier place. So there's definitely people are interested in that. I just wanted to see if not yet. Okay, we'll try to get to Michiko here on the line in a few minutes. But I think that the future for humanity on this planet is a wonderful, bright one. Lorraine, and that's why your program and mine are so important, because it shows people an alternative in a good way that our future is bright, and there's many good things in store for humanity.
Well, and I think what we need to also acknowledge, Ted, is that while the future looks bright, in other words, people should definitely, because it does help to remove the fear,
right?
The present has its challenges. And I think what we're seeing around the world right now is the death gasps mm-hmm. of the controlling factions. And you know, you just said yourself earlier, the reptilians don't take loss lightly. And
right.
if the Galactic Federation or even a cadre of concerned citizens around the globe move on them too quickly, they will resort in an extreme way. Now, this isn't to make people fearful. That's not what I'm trying to do. What I'm trying to say is that during this transition, as the old world dies, there right. are going to be death throes.
Right.
And
that's
what
true.
We really need to do is look at much of what's happening. We have to move from death throes to birth pains. And there are always, there's at least in this dimension, three dimension,
sure.
a rare woman that doesn't have any pain during birth.
Right.
You know, there's going to be birth pains. And so, keeping ourselves, you know, one of the most profound lessons I had when I was learning about how to work with the greater consciousness of life mm-hmm. was that you ask a question and you don't get attached to the answer, the outcome. This is part of developing your personal fortitude, your intuition, is that you ask the question and you trust that the answer will come. as soon as you try to predict how, you know, your request is going to be answered, how you basically have locked yourself down and out of the realm of infinite possibilities. So this is going to be one of the challenges for humankind, is to learn to simply trust that having made the request, having stated the affirmation, having asked the question, that the universe is for us, that life is for us, and it will come. And we cannot say it has to happen this way. You know, like I could say, there needs to be peace in the world, and the first thing they have to do is blow the Zionists out of Israel. Well, that isn't going to do anyone any good. That might not be the right way. You know?
Right, right, right. Absolutely. Well, I think good things are coming, and you have to remember to try to maintain a positive attitude regarding everything, actually. Okay, wonderful, wonderful. Lorraine, we're having we're trying to get Michiko on the line, Hayashi of the Moto Peace Project in Tokyo. And what we're going to need to do is to transfer off your phone to get her, and then we'll bring you back on the line in about 10 minutes.
Okay, Doug, do you want to use my phone or are you going to use Skype?
I think we'll use Skype. It's probably the better way to do it. So.
Okay, I will be here waiting.
Okay, great, Lorraine. We'll call you back in about 10 minutes' time.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you so much. And now we'll connect to Michiko Hayashi in Tokyo, Japan, of the Moto Peace Project, and then go back to Lorraine Hurley in Boston. So while we're trying to reach her now, or waiting to get her on board, I just want to tell everyone of the wonderful Galactic Wisdom Conference that I'll be having next month on March 6, 7, and 8 in Gig Harbor, Washington. Michiko Hayashi, as well as the chief scientist for the Moto Peace Project, Dr. Yasu Nimota, will be coming. In addition to that, Ichin Adereve, who is a wonderful remote psychic in Japan, will also be attending the conference on Friday, March 6th. He'll be helping me give the opening speech at the conference, and the theme of the conference is to create a better world, and it's dedicated to the renowned water scientist Dr. Masaru Emoto, who passed away unfortunately last year. Let's see if we have Michiko on the line. Michiko, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Ted. Hi, Ted.
Okay, good to have you on. We had some technical difficulties
well,
earlier.
Thank you. It's good to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me again.
Well, my pleasure, my pleasure. And I wanted to tell everyone that Michiko and Dr. Nimota will be giving a special workshop on the wonderful work of Dr. Emoto on March 7th at the Inn at Gig Harbor. I believe your presentation starts at either 10 or 10:30 in the morning. I don't have the schedule in front of me, but
I think it was about 9:30 or something. Okay. Yeah, about that time.
Okay, wonderful, yeah. Wonderful. Well, it'll be an opportunity to meet them, and it's a once in a lifetime opportunity that I'm sure that you won't want to that you won't want to miss. And could you tell us a little bit about the work of Dr. Emoto for those listeners who are unfamiliar with his work, Michiko?
Okay, sure. Well, he was originally the doctor of alternative medicine, and he was treating thousands and thousands of people using water and a Hado device, and he cured probably more than 10,000 people with very severe diseases, including many people suffered with cancer from cancer.
Wow.
And he treated them with water, and through doing that, and he himself had the problem with his knee while he was traveling in the United States, and he encountered with the Hado device that treated his knee with water, and then he got into that research in the water, and eventually he found out that he learned that the water has information, and he started to take water crystals from showing words and pictures and letting music, listen to music and all sorts of things. And if, hello?
Okay, yes, we're here. I think, pardon me for interrupting, Michiko. Lorraine, are you there on the line?
I am, and I am so delighted to be here with Michiko.
Hello, Lorraine. It's nice to meet you.
Boy, I have heard such extraordinary, you know, Ted has had person-to-person contact with your project, and I just want you to know that blessings, what you're doing.
Thank you so much. I was just listening to your interview about 30, 40 minutes, and I thought it was so fascinating about what you are talking about all the people that you met and about the consciousness and the project. It's so exciting. It's just wonderful. I'm so excited.
I have to share with you, Masaru Emoto. Dr. Emoto was one of the very first books I read, The Hidden Messages in Water, and this was probably eight years ago, Michiko.
Right.
It was one of the first books I ever picked up that really turned me on to the power of consciousness. So I am I'm deeply indebted to the work that you do. I can't tell you how grateful I am to know that there are people. There are so many people out there doing this kind of work. It really instills in me a deep sense of gratitude.
Well, thank you so much. Well, the consciousness can do so much for the world, for this planet Earth. And recently, Dr. Emoto wanted to educate children about the truth of water, how water retains the information. But to explain that with the difficult words to children, it's not going to work. So he wanted to just, instead of teaching them about water, he wanted to show the simple water crystal pictures showing how beautiful crystal water can create, form crystals when we have the thoughts of positive thoughts like thank you and appreciation and happiness and cheerfulness and all that. And instead of that, on the other hand, when we have the negative thoughts, the water molecule cannot form even crystals. And also we ourselves, 70% water, it just comes back to us, to our entire body or health too. Anyway, so he wanted to teach children. Hello?
I'm here.
We can hear you just fine. Go ahead.
All right.
Go ahead, yes.
Well, he wanted to show children that saying thank you makes a beautiful crystal, so it's good. Saying you full to other friends or anything else, you're saying that to yourself and the water reacts so ugly. And that's what you're doing to yourself too, as well as you're doing to others. And, you know, I went to one of the foster care centers in Japan a couple of days ago and learned that children who are there have had such difficult time in the lifetime in early age. I mean, they're there like age of two years old and until the 18 years old, children are there. And a lot of them do not, they know the word thank you, but they don't know what it is. They don't know the feeling of thank you.
Wow.
They don't know love because for them, the house was kind of a place of war itself between their parents or somebody else. So they don't know the warmth, love, thank you, even though they know the words.
Michiko, pardon me for interrupting.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say that we have all our friends on the other side who are listening very closely to what you're saying, and they're saying that both your project, the Emoto Peace Project, children's books, teaching them love and gratitude, and your wonderful work, Lorraine, and the Alignment of Hearts, are all extremely important keystones for creating a far better planet in the future. And this is the vanguard of how we're going to create a much better planet. And now this studio has lit up completely again in white light. I'm getting this from Professor Einstein, J. Robert Oppenheimer, Leonardo da Vinci, and Robert F. Kennedy on the other side. So they're all here listening to what you're saying, Michiko and Lorraine.
Oh,
they're cheering you both on. So please continue.
Michiko, I would like to invite you, I'm not trying to make you uncomfortable. I would like to invite you to my show, Uncommon Awareness. Ted's going to become an alternate host for that program. He's graciously stepped in to help develop it and to give me the time I need to develop other projects. We're talking about alignment of hearts, but it would be such an honor to have you talk about it. You know, you said we are 70% water, but that's by volume. We're 99% water by molecules, because water molecules are so small. Yeah, 99% molecules in our body are water. We are, you know, are you familiar with the work of Mei Wan Ho?
Oh, I've heard of him. The name, but I don't know.
She's basically posited that water is the master translator between the spiritual and the physical. That's a very simplistic statement to make. And for anyone that's familiar with the work, I'm not trying to denigrate her work by being that simple. I'm just trying to make the point. You know, mm-hmm. Mei Wan Ho, I'm sure if she knew about the project that you were doing, she's an extraordinary scientist. She writes primarily for...
Oh, I think she was in a movie called Water.
Yes.
The Water movie was made by Russian producer. And I think she was in there in the movie. Yes, I do. I have seen her. Yes.
She's a mystic scientist.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, you know, she's actually cited the work of Dr. Emoto in her papers. And these are really rigorous scientific papers. They're not something that the average, you know, it's not material for a blog, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they have the Institute for Science and Society, where they believe in open access, and they really do their best to educate the public on extraordinary elucidations of science. And but more than that, the mystical issues that arise from this type of non-commercial science. And water, the work of Victor Schauberger and the work of Professor Gillian, he's an Italian who passed away recently. They're really showing that water is the medium through which consciousness and the physical world interact.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And water is the medium of consciousness and the reality. And Dr. Emoto was always saying that water is the messenger, God's messenger.
Right.
And at the end, right before he, just 1 or 2 years before he passed away, he started to say that, well, I have to be really honest with you all. Now I'm convinced that water itself is God. He started to say that.
Well, it might be the words of God. You know, in the beginning was the word. And we tend to think of words as letters on a piece of paper or an alphabet. Mm-hmm. But word is just, it is sound. It's the primordial creative force of life. It's sound. Mm-hmm. In the beginning was the word, which is the energies that move, you know, to actually construct what we think of as our reality, physical life. But yeah, I mean, this is a fascinating topic, and we could build, and you know, of course, the challenge for any of us that study this in our private lives and don't quite feel competent teaching about it in our professional lives is to get to that place where we can translate what drew us in, what gave us that passion, what gave us that draw. For me personally, the first time I saw those water crystal photos, that really began my practice of meditation. I was very, very Western. I was not Eastern. I was not enlightened. I was a very typical person until I began to, I don't know, the universe had other plans for me.
When I saw Dr. Mother's water crystal, I thought until then I was kind of spiritual, but because my father was a priest, Buddhism priest.
Yeah.
And so I was kind of spiritual, but I was really not completely spiritual. But when I saw that water crystal, I thought, this is it. I mean, this can explain why we need to be a good person, you know.
Yeah.
It's really obvious. It explains.
Sure. Sure.
Your project is
visualize.
Actually, your project is the only one I know of with the kind of clout you have that is going after our children. And for that, I again, just all I can do is extend mm-hmm. gratitude. There has we do need to begin to think much more consistently and profoundly about how do we communicate with our children, because we live in a world where truth is not permitted. So mm-hmm. when you take something as simple as water and what happens to the crystal structure of water, we're not going to draw a lot of negative attention to ourselves by simply teaching our children.
Right. Yeah. You know what I did? I have two children. One is, well, he will be 24 this year, and the other will be 18. Well, he is 18. He will be 18 in May anyway. Both of them, ever since they were born, I knew they were conscious about what's going on. I felt that as soon as I saw their eyes as they were born, I could tell that they had their thoughts or their consciousness or their feelings already. They could tell how I feel. Mm-hmm. So I was, from the moment I saw them, I always respected what they wanted to do. Mm-hmm. So I never had to say what to do. And now they're grown up to be fine gentlemen. And they're very smart, very intelligent, very responsible. And I am convinced that the way I raised my children was correct, was right.
Michiko, I have a message for you from Professor Einstein, who's listening to you. Mm-hmm. And he's urging you to tell both of your sons to please meditate, take some time and meditate every day. And he actually has been helping them behind the scenes with their various projects, especially your older sons. So that's the message he's giving me now to tell you to give to your sons.
I will tell them. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful. That's really wonderful.
And
Thank you.
He says, just because we're not in a physical body anymore, and this comes from Professor Einstein, J. Robert Oppenheimer, Leonardo da Vinci, that they're all here. They're all here, and they're
saying.
That
was my response. Wonderful.
having a big party there.
Yeah, and Robert F. Kennedy is saying, "Don't forget me." He's saying, "Sometime we'll bring on his brother John if he likes, and I'd love to interview his brother who was the president of the United States." But he says they're all here,
and they're
all clapping. They're all clapping for both you, for you, Michiko,
you,
Lorraine, and for my show too.
And Lorraine. Let's, this is really important. I know that we don't have very much time, but to change this world, I know that we should try the best we can to keep this planet Earth, the beautiful place. But at the same time, we need to educate the children and their parents so that love and gratitude and good consciousness is what we really need.
Michiko, I don't want to interrupt my friends, but I just want to make an announcement for those who are just tuning in. We have Dr. Lorraine Hurley, a wonderful radio host of our Uncommon Awareness program, on the line, along with Michiko Hayashi, the director of the Worldwide Emoto Peace Project, coming to us live from Tokyo, Japan. Michiko will be at the Galactic Wisdom Conference next month, March 6th, 7th, and 8th. If you're interested, please see our website at www.galacticwisdomconference.com. And Michiko and Lorraine, please, you have the floor for the rest of the time. We've got about a minute, minute and a half left.
Well, I just want to make one comment, Michiko, and I'll let you wrap this up. Was that I'm not sure that we have what I'm exploring is I'm not sure so much that we have to educate our children. Now, if we take educate from the Latin, which is really to draw out that which is already within. Our children are more and more being born with a higher and higher spiritual comprehension than you and I were born with. And I think what we really, more than anything, is we have to allow our children. We have to provide the environments and we have to provide the opportunities for
exactly.
them.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. But if they were fortunate enough to be in such a nice environment, we can do that. But we have to know that there's so many children who are not under that environment. So with those children, we need to be educating, spreading the message.
Thank you. Thank you, Michiko and Lorraine, for coming on today. I both hope you have a wonderful weekend, and goodbye, everybody around the world.